This week's resignation of Army Secretary Dan Driscoll, the branch's top civilian leader, raises serious questions about military leadership under Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The two had clashed repeatedly as Secretary Hegseth made personnel moves that appeared to favor political loyalty over expertise. At a time of war, with tens of thousands of U.S. troops deployed in the Middle East, the senior ranks of the military can ill afford a chilling effect on frank advice, experts say. You quell any likelihood of people saying, "This isn't going to work," a former commander of U.S. Army forces in Europe tells The Monitor's Anna Mulrine-Groby. It's Friday, September 4th. This is The Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. President Donald Trump's efforts to restrict birthright citizenship were once again blocked by the courts. On Wednesday, a federal judge in Maryland temporarily blocked a second executive order from Mr. Trump narrowing the definition of birthright citizenship. He had issued the second order a month after the Supreme Court had struck down a 2025 order declaring children born to parents in the country temporarily or unlawfully ineligible for automatic citizenship. The second order applies to children of parents with certain ties to foreign governments. It also directed a crackdown on birth tourism. Judge Deborah L. Boardman wrote that the 2026 order is almost certainly unconstitutional. The House leadership cut 2 weeks from the chamber's September schedule. Members will return to Washington on September 14 for 1 week before adjourning to campaign in their districts until after the November midterm elections. That means they will likely have 8 legislative workdays between August 1st to November 9th. Democrats criticized the move. The House already passed Republicans' major priority, a bill to prevent a government shutdown before the midterms. But the decision narrows the window for a vote on a Senate-passed Russia sanctions bill championed by the late Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. Schools that engage in DEI practices could lose their tax-exempt status. The Internal Revenue Service and the Department of the Treasury issued new regulations, which would take effect in May 2027, that bar a school from qualifying for tax-free status if it maintains or enforces a policy that discriminates based on race, color, or national origin. The new regulations apply to scholarships, admissions, educational policies, loans, athletics, and other programs. The proposed rules could remove the tax-exempt status of 18,000 private schools, including colleges and universities. Religious private schools will not be affected. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. War requires discipline and problem solving. Dan Driscoll's resignation as Army Secretary highlights a pattern of moves by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth at a time of conflict that appears to prioritize political loyalty over expertise. Anna Mulrine-Groby reports for The Monitor. Technology gives law enforcement new tools, such as automated license plate readers, to help them investigate crimes. But sometimes that technology can threaten the balance between public safety and privacy, prompting a discussion of how much government agencies should know about people's lives. Victoria Hoffman reports for The Monitor. A series of arson and sabotage attacks has been taking place at sites across Europe supporting Ukraine in its war with Russia. Analysts suspect Russia is involved and think it might be preparing a larger attack to test the response of the U.S. and its Western allies. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. Could the growing regional rivalry between Turkey and Israel lead to a military clash? A recent Israeli strike on an airbase in northern Syria illustrated the two countries' conflicting strategic interests, but analysts say neither wants war. Shoshana Solomon reports from Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. Route 66 was marketed as America's Main Street, but its path led tourists and others through land where people lived and worked before the birth of the United States. When researchers looked for their stories, they made an unexpected discovery. Harry Brunius reports from Amarillo, Texas, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on data centers. Let's say this about the political upwelling of Americans who oppose mega data centers in mainly rural areas. Not only are the protests bipartisan, but they also provide insight into how communities can tap their inclusive ties to shape a common economic destiny, perhaps even better than free markets or government policy. A cohesive community has intangibles like trust and caring that are often stronger than ideology or money in creating jobs and housing in an eco-friendly way. But don't look to the anti-data center movement as the latest or best example of the importance of local bonds. Something similar has burst upon the scene this year that is much more conflict-free and uplifting. Since July, people in low-income rural communities across the United States have come up with local plans to attract multi-billion investments. The big incentive? Last year, Congress added rural areas to the Opportunity Zone program. That federal project gives hefty tax breaks spanning 10 years for private investments in distressed communities. The program is now the country's largest place-based incentive for economic development. About 15% of Americans live in distressed areas. Yet the initial program that began in 2017 focused on urban areas, with more than $150 billion invested since then. 2 months ago, the window opened wide for states to apply for rural areas to be designated as an opportunity zone. That is, if the area has a poverty rate of at least 20%, among other requirements. Rural leaders will probably follow the urban practice of ensuring community input, as required by Congress, before allowing tax-delaying investments by wealthy financial backers. In fact, such a process of consultation might help improve the debate on data centers. The tech companies would be wise to take a page from financial institutions and work with communities, not against them, said Jesse Van Tol, head of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition. The investment zones only work with a combination of patient capital and the warmth of ties within a local community. In any business venture, qualities like inclusion and patience are essential. They create a clearing for progress, otherwise known as opportunity. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how healing happens when we understand that each of us is the expression of the all-good God. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case and Jingnan Peng.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.